Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Relax. We got this. Good morning, PM. Happy Monday.
How are you?
Good. Good. I had a very easy day yesterday. Just kind of hung out, had some munchies, and watched football all day. What did you do?
Yeah, it's interesting that after Derrick Henry rips apart the Bills' defense the next week, right away, 1 o'clock, he's throwing touchdown passes instead of running them in. It's like, okay, that's interesting.
What did you, before we get to the Sabres, we were discussing this morning what you took away from yesterday's games. You got a prevailing thought or two that you grabbed from everything you saw yesterday?
No, when I can just sit back and watch a lot of, what I'm watching is, how's my fantasy football team doing, type of thing. But yeah, I was shocked that the Chiefs, got blown out by Tennessee. And I'm not shocked they lost, but just the way it went down, that they couldn't even put points on the board. That just boggles my mind to a point. Now, they're in danger of not even making the playoffs right now. And there's really no help in sight for them. I don't think their defense is going to get any better anytime soon. And, and Baltimore, too, at home, to lose the way they did to Cincinnati. Now, Cincinnati, it looks like a complete blowout. A lot of that was Baltimore was forced to go on fourth down deep in their own territory fairly early in this game because they were behind. They failed both times, and the Bengals scored touchdowns off it both times, too. So, those are things that wouldn't have happened had the score not been what it was. But still, here are the Cincinnati Bengals. It looks like they've arrived. They're a very good team and, a team to be reckoned with.
And good news, Paul, for old guy like you and me, the next four Sundays are all 1 o'clock Bills games. After a couple Sunday afternoons without Bills football, we're back in that Sunday 1 o'clock mode for the next four, and at least three should be easy victories, and they hopefully would win the fourth.
Yeah, that's going to be weird to be back to 1 o'clock. I mean, it's been a long, long time since the Bills had one of those, and here on this Sunday, the Bills are at 1 o'clock and the Sabres are at 4.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they're playing L.A. on Sunday. Yeah, thank you for reminding me. Okay, so let's get to hockey. Phone lines are open for your questions, comments, opinions, what you saw yesterday, took away from all the football you watched, 803-0550. Even though the Bills didn't play, if you got a Bills point to bring up, that's fine too. So the weekend started with Boston, a little bit of an upgrade in opposition from the first three games. So let's start with that game and what you saw from the Sabres, who had their best test to date on Friday
night.
Yeah,
they weren't bad. It was a thing where they faced three of the best offensive players, most elite offensive players in the NHL. They could not handle them, and that was the difference. The rest of the game, I thought Buffalo played very well. I thought Buffalo played Boston for a lot of that game, but Linus Ullmark, he was dead on. I mean, he made some fantastic saves. The Sabres had some grade-A opportunities they couldn't capitalize on because of Ullmark. And they couldn't handle the Bergeron line. Bergeron, Pasternak, and Marchand were absolutely superior in that game, and the Sabres had no answers for them. But they still were pressing the pace. There were a lot of times in that game where I thought they were the better team. But, just as we've talked about all year, there are going to be times, and we saw them twice this weekend, where they can't score goals. And, you know, in the Boston game, I thought they played, you know, good. They were pressing pace. They were doing well. They couldn't put any goals behind Allmark. And then in the New Jersey game, it was a little bit different. Here they are facing a rookie goaltender making his first NHL start. So you're thinking, well, you know, maybe they can, you know, take advantage of that. But the Sabres usually don't take advantage of that, and they didn't. And they just were out of gas. And I'm not hugely concerned. It was their first back-to-back. And they really, really went hard in the first period. I mean, they dominated the Devils. The Devils didn't know what to do. And they were going hard. And they were pushing the pace really hard in that game, being successful doing it. But yet they leave the first period only up one goal. And then the second period, they have to kill back-to-back penalties, which they do. But the Devils had some chances on those power plays, and they were shot after that, absolutely shot.
Yeah.
And they just were hanging on from that point forward, and Tokarski stole them a point.
Yeah, Paul, it seems like the Sabres, you know, when it comes to the system, you know, we always talk about, like, the system. It seems like they know what they're doing. They're in good shape. And the refrain from this weekend might be one you hear a lot, which is, it's not that you played poorly. It's that, you know, in a lot of cases, especially against better teams, and not necessarily New Jersey here. This is Boston. This might be tonight Tampa. It's going to be a little while before you have the horses to keep up with those teams.
Yes, absolutely. And it wasn't like Boston ran, you know, rolled line after line out against you. Coyle had a good game, but he had his good game at special teams. But the rest of the Bruins, they were pretty much not noticeable as far as lines go. The Sabres, I think, dominated play when it came to the other lines, but they just, you know, had no answers for the one line. And here comes Tampa now, and you know, Stamkos is off to a very good start. Point is not, but you know him; he can score at any point and get going. And their goaltending has not been even close to what I mean. Vasilevskiy is the best goaltender in the world, and things have not. I mean, Tampa Bay is right near the bottom of goals against average right now, and you know, he's played every game so far. So they haven't. I mean, I think that's the biggest reason they're 2-2-1. They just haven't defended very well. But you know, I hate to say it. I'm not trying to say this to be a jerk, but you know, this might be a game where they can get healthy as far as that goes, because. Yeah. The Sabres just have – it's not – they don't have trouble producing chances. I mean,
finishing.
Have trouble finishing around the net. I mean, they're doing the things to produce grade-A opportunities, but in most games.
Yeah.
But they just, you know, don't have the finishers. And I think we all knew that before the start of the year.
And as we watch this new version of the Sabres, you know, move forward, grow, whatever, you know, the goals from Gjergensen's, Eakin – I mean, Oposo has been a really great finisher in this league before, so I don't want to include him there. But, you know, we're hoping to see top-end talent kind of come through in the next wave of that. J.J. Paterka and Jack Quinn appear to have a really good thing going in Rochester. So when they get up here, if they can produce, that'll be great. But I wanted to ask you about Cousins, because he scores a great goal against the Devils the other night. I did not realize he had such a long goalless drought. I mean... Right, like 20 games in that, 24 games without a goal?
He realized it. He knew it. When he left last year, he was just beside himself.
Yeah.
Like,
and you've talked about that. You've talked about that, he of course, he's really driven. He's going to take it personally. He's going to have to, you know, find a way to kind of manage that. 24, a goalless drought that long is kind of, I guess it might, for me, it highlighted how, you know, our belief that he's going to step in and just kind of really take over their offensive production, it's going to be a work in progress.
Yeah, and he's picked up some assists, you know, for them along the way. And even this year, you know, he had picked up some assists and doing well that way. But he just couldn't seem to break through. And that was a nice shot to the far side. Gjergensen set up the screen for him, and he just ripped it to the far side. And but he had other great opportunities in that game, too. Allmark, I mean, absolutely. I don't know how he made the save. It was a power play late in the first period, and it looked like Cousins had the whole net on a backhand, and he took the shot, and it looked like it was going in. And as the puck was getting to the goal line, Ullmark, who was down on his knees, had his back leg. The skate was there right around the goal line, and he kind of put out the left skate, and it hit it, and it came out, and it didn't cross the goal line. And it's like, how did he make that save, and how did Cousins miss that one? You know, and he's had another one this year where, you know, it was another where you said to yourself, how did he miss, type of thing. And I don't think he's going to miss forever. It's just, I think he was pressing. He was really getting down that, you know, he should be producing and he's not, and he takes that personally.
Yeah.
And I think it's that line, Paul. I know, Paul, I think you were generally speaking about not having guys finish, but they're getting chances. But I thought that line in particular, was, I think it's Skinner and Hinostroza, yeah, all both games. Those guys are around the puck. They're making things happen. They're doing a nice job in the offensive zone. They're all getting chances. And, you know, Skinner and Hinostroza couldn't finish anything at all.
And Skinner, of course, we'll probably talk about him a lot. I mean, the contract and everything. And you're probably right, Paul. He might never get to 40 again. But the way he's playing, the minutes he's getting and the chances they're getting together, I feel like 20-plus is very much in the cards.
I don't
you
feel
don't?
He'll ever, no, I don't think he'll ever get to 20 again either. I think he's just, from a goal-scoring standpoint, it's gone on too long. He just doesn't seem to be able – I mean, he scored that beautiful goal. That's a Skinner-type goal, the backhand from his knees.
Yeah.
But I just don't think he has – you know, and it happens to goal scorers. They get to a point in their career where they just don't score goals anymore. You know, it happened to James Neal fairly recently. You know, you can go down a lot of goal scorers that just can't put the puck in the net anymore. And I just feel he's to a point now where, you know, I've watched going into a third year now where he gets great chances and he doesn't finish them anymore. And, you know, it's just to a point where I just don't feel, you know, he can get to 20 anymore. I think, you know, if maybe 15 might 17 somewhere in there might be a capping for him. Hinostroza, some of the problem with him is he, when we're talking about guys who give up golden opportunities, he's I think top on that list.
Yeah, he should shoot more.
He with his speed, all of a sudden has a great chance, and he passes off, so he's not being selfish.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, he needs to shoot a little more, and he did. There was one great play by Cousins, a 3-on-2 that he led. It was a 2-on-2 with Skinner.
Yeah.
Skinner goes to the net, takes both defensemen with him, and Cousins just was very patient, knowing Hinostroza was coming.
Mm-hmm.
So Hinostroza joins the play. Here he comes. Now it's a 3-on-2. Perfect pass over there. He walks in by himself down the slot, and this one he does shoot. He rips it. He beats Ullmark, and he hits the crossbar. You know, so that one he shot on, and it was good to see him shoot, and it was a good shot. Ullmark didn't have a chance on it. So I thought, that's when I thought to myself too, see, you know, that should show you right there, you know, that, you know, you should shoot more and not give up such grade A scoring chances to try to get a better shot to somebody else.
Paul with us on the Wester Hotline, 803-0550. Sabres play the Lightning tonight. Excuse me, we'll have the game here on WGR, 7 o'clock faceoff, 6 o'clock pregame. I wanted to ask you about Rasmus Dahlin. You wrote about him in your article Friday night after the Bruins game. And so it's kind of a two-part question. The idea of being in the top pair 25 minutes a night, and you had mentioned you didn't like his game Friday. You were curious to see how he bounced back Saturday. So part one, how did he handle Saturday? Part two, can he hold up in top pair? I mean, they don't have much of a choice. In top pair 25-minute-a-night role this season?
Yeah, I think he can hold up. He can, but I think what happened against the Bruins, he got a real, real lesson in hockey by that Bergeron line, because you know, he was going up against that line, and it didn't go well to start off with. And when he was against other Bruin lines, I thought he played fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that line is just a step above everybody else. And he had his problems when it came to that line. You know, I don't think he was awful against New Jersey. You know, I thought he was much better. And for the most part, I think he's fine. And can he hold up? But yeah, absolutely, I think he can. He knew in this offseason that he was going to have the opportunity to play a lot of minutes. So he prepared for it. He trained for it. And, you know, I don't think he'll have any problems with it. But when he's up against, you know, elite offensive talent in the NHL, he's going to have to learn, you know, and so I think Friday was a learning experience for him. It's like, okay, you know, you went up against some of the best offensive talent in the National Hockey League who all play in a line together, and, you know, you found out what it's going to be like. Now we'll see, you know, it's going to happen again tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kucherov is injured, but, you know, you still they're more than a one-man or one-trick pony. They got some offensive talent on that group too. So, you know, we'll see how he fares against Tampa Bay.
The other thing I want to ask you about is the goaltending. You were talking earlier about Vasilevsky struggling, but through five games, the Sabres goaltending, pleasantly surprised by what you've seen?
Yeah, right near the top of the league. I mean, Tokarski's second in the league in save percentage. Anderson's, I believe, is 10th in goaltenders that have played more than one game. And, you know, I read all summer long how the Sabres goaltending is the worst in the league and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, they've been great. And, you know, they haven't let in the bad goal or anything like that. You felt bad for Tokarski because he's standing on his head holding him into that game. He still has a 1-0 lead in the third period of that game against New Jersey, in a game that the Sabres, by that point, had no business being in. And it's the puck off the back wall, and as it comes back out front, it hits Hischier and winds up in the net. I mean, he didn't even shoot it. But because Hamilton shoots it so hard, it just hit that back wall, came back so fast and hit him, and it winds up in the net in a fluky goal. And that's the only goal he gives up till overtime. So he kind of felt bad for him that he had played so well. I mean, he, you know, if that fluke doesn't happen, he almost has a chance to steal 2 points for the Sabres instead of one.
I had a league question, Paul, because, Paul, you watch the Sabres, of course, but you watch plenty of other hockey as well. And kind of, I'll tie in one of the Boston goals the other night. I thought Marchand cross-checked Rasmus Dahlin. What happened to the crackdown on cross-checking? Not really seeing anything.
Because this is the NHL. This is how they roll, you know. We're going to change rules and we're going to this, that, the other thing. And usually, I mean, I'm a little surprised it's gone away already.
Yeah,
usually
we have go to a week or till, two. Yeah.
Yeah. It's about the holidays usually, you know, when they come out with these rule changes, they do it for a while. And then we go through the holidays and we get to January and then it's done.
Yeah.
You know, when it's cracked down on, you know, clutching and grabbing, you know, and so the Sabres come out of the shoot with this, you know, out of the lockout with this fast team, knowing that, all right, no more clutching and grabbing. And it looks great until all of a sudden there's clutching and grabbing again.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you know, it's the way the NHL goes. But, you know, the cross-checking thing didn't even last that long.
No. All right. And the last thing I had for you was the unis. Wearing white at home the other night, and I'll be honest with you, I did get to a point when they initially announced, we're going to switch it. White on the road, color jerseys, the darker jerseys, color at home, and I thought, that's brilliant. I love it. I'm tired of seeing white all the time. That's great. What do you think about this? Do you think it should go back to the way it was? Is there any indication the NHL would go back to your home jersey would be your white jersey?
It's the only reason they lost on Friday.
Because they wore the white jersey?
They had to wear white.
Ah,
see,
I didn't.
They had worn blue for the whole time, and then they had to wear white. It had nothing to do with Bergeron,
Boston,
Allmark, Pasternak, or anybody else.
Okay.
It was because they had to wear white.
I didn't
and
know
they
that.
They couldn't wear the blue where they were undefeated.
This is why you're the beat reporter. I totally did not understand that. I never thought of that. So that's why you're in charge here. Okay.
No, I enjoyed the white at home. I wish, you know, they would go back to it, and I'm very happy they're going to do it on Fridays. It's going to be fun, but I wish, you know, because then you get some colorful matchups. It's not the same color every game where, all right, Sabres are in blue, the other team's in white, and you never see anything different.
Yeah. All right, can I get a quick dig in at the NHL? Is that okay? Beyond the cross-checking thing?
I was going to say, didn't we just do that?
No, something else. So Saturday, now I have ESPN Plus, okay, so it's not a problem. I have access to all the
games.
That
shocks me that you have ESPN. Somebody must be buying it for you as a present or something like that.
I have the Hulu Disney ESPN bundle, Paul, okay?
I
have
the bundle. I know, somebody must have bought it for you for Christmas.
Shut up. So you're the NHL. You got a team in Seattle. It's their first home game. Now, I understand how this works. I get it. You put attractive stuff on, like, Paramount. You put a Notre Dame home football game on.
I went
Peacock,
looking.
Whatever.
for this game, Howard. I went looking.
Did you really?
For it. Yes,
well,
I did.
You would have never found it if you didn't have ESPN Plus.
I gave up.
Although you could have actually watched it on CBC. They had the Canadian feed on CBC Hockey Night in Canada.
I do have ESPN Plus, but I just went looking like NHL Network,
nope.
TNT.
Nope.
You know, I'm flipping through the channels, and it wasn't there. And I just thought like, eh, whatever.
See,
I gave up.
How do you do that on opening the first game? Yeah. It's in Seattle. I wanted to watch. Now I did because I had ESPN Plus. Like I said, I get it. You're trying to sell subscriptions. I understand that, but come on, the first home game for an expansion team, you know. Hockey fans are going to want to see that, and you chuck it on ESPN Plus and shut out some of your audience.
Absolutely. Now, wasn't it on a night where it's a
college football
night?
All over
but
ESPN.
Don't schedule it on that night. Schedule it on a Tuesday.
Right.
Or schedule it on a –
Or
yeah,
six
Tuesday.
Games
or
ago.
All right, they opened up with a road trip.
They had a six-game road trip or whatever. Yeah, like – anyway.
Stupid. I don't know if their arena was ready. Was it ready? Maybe
that's
why
what
they
had I guess that was.
But okay, so
but
put
still,
it on a
whatever
Friday.
Whatever it is, even if you got to wait six games, wait. Somehow get it on a night where you're not conflicting with the networks that you're working with that are doing other things, so you can't get it on. I mean, figure it out. I mean,
we have some
common sense, figure it out.
Yeah.
And we missed in the process, they retired the number 32. What do you think about that? As the 32nd franchise,
no thanks.
They retired the number 32 for two reasons. One, being the 32nd franchise. And the other, it says, for the 32,000 people that did put money down for season tickets.
Yeah. That's a little too hokey.
You don't like retiring 32?
Not a fan of it.
I don't mind for the first reason, being the
32nd
franchise.
I can handle that.
Yeah, I'm determined to dislike a lot of things, Kraken, but the 32,
I hate the
whatever.
Name.
Wouldn't
Paul,
you have retired
right,
the number 32,000 instead
of
32?
I hate the name, and I do not like the uniforms.
So,
all.
Jeremy, did you not see the opening speech from Gary Bettman where he talked about releasing the Kraken?
Did he say that?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, it's also being said every 10 minutes in NHL commercials.
Whoever tossed to the broadcast on ESPN said, it's time to release the Kraken. Bettman was in
expected.
The arena. He gave a little speech to Seattle fans like, hey, great to have you in the NHL. Let's release the Kraken. I thought of you.
Yeah. Maybe 10 years in, we'll get over having a team named after a meme. You know?
I like
Paul,
a lot
I'm glad
of
to hear you also don't like the name.
I did like a lot of the pictures I saw of the arena and looking forward to being there next week.
Dual Jumbotrons.
Yeah, yes. That's right. That's pretty
that's
cool.
That's a great idea.
All right. Very good. Hey, Mr. Hamilton.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.